Last week, preached out of two chapters that I'd never spoken before. And then this week, I am going to speak on a subject that everyone knows about. And so it is one of those things that, you know, if you want to hear something you've never heard, you should play last week's sermon. If you want to hear something that probably everybody knows about, then you can listen to today. But I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. I appreciate you worshiping. I really want to, in some level, explain to you today. I know we are growing apostolic legacy, and I want to explain to you why I trust the Lord. And I'm trying to, there it is. There it is. Why do I trust God? And I tried to organize my thoughts to make it seem understandable, and it became quickly, it's like I'll never be able to preach on all of this in one Sunday or two Sundays or six Sundays. But at the same time, I really wanted somehow to talk about a couple of aspects of God. One is some of his attributes and some of his integrity and just some different things. And so probably the best way that I can explain it is by, I know what we have by is that recognition that most children trust their parents. And they can throw them up in the air and they trust that they're going to catch them. Now, and the kids like it, and I understand. And those of us who are older, we look at it and we cringe because we think, oh my God, they could drop them, and then our heart stops, and so we're falling over dead, and the parents are having fun. And they love it, and I get it. I'm not talking about my sons-in-law. One of them's already got kids he can't throw in the air. The other one still can throw his in the air, but I'm not talking about them. I don't go. I'm not. This is not about them throwing their babies. I get it. You know, whatever. I'm not. But it's that understanding that Isla trusts David, trusts Caitlin, trusts maybe me a little bit. I was there some. Has a little bit of trust, and yet she really can't do anything about it. She can't really say, oh my Lord, this is scaring the fire out of me. Can she? Now, a grandparent can go, oh my Lord, it's scaring the fire out of me, but she's just a baby. You understand? So when you talk about trusting God, I'm not talking about just, falling and, he's going to catch me. It's going to be okay. I'm not talking about an immature sort of without knowledge, without understanding kind of trust, I'm talking about an understanding of God that is built over time as she gets older, then we will begin to question, does Isla still trust her parents? Does she still trust her family? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because right now, she's a baby. And I put that picture there because I'm going to talk about that. But Hebrews 11 chapter says, but without what? Faith. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first of all believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what this verse is in Hebrews 11 chapter, it's in the faith chapter, talks about an element of trust. And most people will, in America, in most people in general, well, you ask them, you say, do you believe in God? They'll go, oh, yeah. But it's kind of like an immature, oh, well, there's something somewhere, I don't know. There's some karma, there's some force. You understand what I'm saying? There's just some, and it's not been fully developed. Now, first of all, I was not in the discussion stages of Isla's name before she was born. I was not, her parents were involved in that. I didn't come to be, but you know, when she was born, they had a name and here she is. And I would say that I was in the discussion stages of when our oldest daughter was born, Sheena, and when our youngest one, Caitlin, was born. And even before they're born, as they're being carried in the mother, they begin to pick up sounds. And when Sheena was born, there was some had a cord wrapped around her neck. She swallowed some amniotic fluid. The hospital we were in did not have a neonatal children's intensive care. So they took her, Sheena, to another hospital. My wife stayed here. And so I was in a dilemma. Which hospital do I go to? And I stayed with my wife for a while. And then I was all in Little Rock, and so then I got in the vehicle and I rushed over to see the baby. And when I got to the intensive care, you know, they suited me up, and my dad had driven over with me, and they suited me all up, and Sheena, I didn't know, you know, there are several babies, and she was on all fours almost, screaming. And had her in this incubator thing. And I went in and I said, Sheena, and I put my hand through those little gloves, you know, where you could. I said, Sheena. And as I said her name, she stopped. And she just relaxed. And I'd never really met her except for about 3 or 4 seconds after she was born, before they rushed her out to the ambulance and took her away. We hadn't, except she had heard my voice before she was born. And she was able to recognize on some level, I don't know whether that's a different voice or I've heard that before or that guy's an idiot or I don't know what was in her brain. But the nurse said, well, she's been crying ever since she got here. This is the first time she's relaxed. So I know there are some recognition before you're born. Go ahead, next slide. But the truth of the matter is, to really know someone, you got to be around them. Amen. Which implies you've got to be alive and they've got to be alive. You understand? I can tell you about folks. I can tell you about people you've never met. Caitlin's, my grandmother had passed away before Caitlin was born. She's heard stories about her and she knows some things about her, but yet really knowing her, she never really knew her. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so when you really get to know someone, it's okay. You know, number one, I mean, you know, you can listen to them, you can read about them, you can talk to them, you can be with them. And, you know, that's why I think when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and you read it in John, the third chapter, and he was questioning him, you know, how do you get in the kingdom? How do you relate to God? How do you understand that Nicodemus, Jesus would say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even perceive it unless you're born. And so when I say, well, Isla trusts her mom and dad, but did she trust them before she was born? You know, unfortunately, I have a war story that would indicate possibly she knew their voices. Possibly she knew them before birth, but it will continue to develop. She's got to be born. You understand what I'm saying? And so when people say, well, I don't trust God. Well, my first question is, were you born again? Because if you were never born again of the water and of the Spirit, don't talk to me about you're not trusting God. You don't really know Him. And that's when I have people that will say to me, well, you know, I don't know. I can't trust God. And this is what he said here. He said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter, go ahead, next slide, into the kingdom of God. But that which is born of flesh is flesh. So you will never understand God, who is a spirit, until you are born of the Spirit. Now, you may have felt God. You may be able to say, oh yeah, I know, I believe there is a God, I don't know. But if you have not experienced the new birth,
amen,
I'm here to tell you, you will never truly trust God to the depth that you can trust Him unless you are born again. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and you can't tell where it's coming, whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost begins to breathe through us. That's why it speaks in a heavenly language. Every child, when they're first born, is able to speak. They're able to speak all languages, but then they start hearing them, and they develop different accents and lose different sounds. But and if they don't hear, they lose speech a lot of times altogether. But the point is, here we go. He said, everyone that is born of the Spirit, you know, that's where that comes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, what are you saying? If there was ever someone comes to you and says, I don't know how you trust God. I don't understand how you can have God and have this relationship, because I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. I went down in the name of Jesus and I was born again. That's how you start developing trust. You won't develop it, you know, unless you're born. I think that's probably obvious, but Jeremiah said, ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's why the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you have this notion that, well, I'm going to wait. If God wants me to know him, he'll knock me in the head. Please don't wait that long. You can know God. You can get to know him today. You start by saying, I want to be born again. I want to have a relationship with you. You say, well, I've never been baptized, but I don't think you have to be baptized. Well, read his word. Listen to what he says. He said himself, he that is born of the water and of the Spirit. And so the key is when you look and you say, well, I want to know how I, you know, can be born. You know, the point was that he is that rewarder of those. Now, so we have four major, what I'm going to say, major attributes of God. And I know my time, I've got a lot of slides and because I got going. But number one, he is infinite. That means he has no limits or boundaries. It's like the wind. It's like the air. It's like the Spirit. That's why he said, listen to the wind. It blows where it wants. God is infinite. He fills all. You understand? He's yesterday, today, forever. We can go through lots of verses about that. He is self-existent. In other words, he was before all things. By him, all things consist. There is no, you know, and what's always funny is when children, you know, they'll start asking you questions about, you know, well, you know, what happened before this and what happened before that and what happened before that and what happened before that. And then, you know, people will say, well, you know, how did you God get into place? He was self-existent. Sorry, there is no, well, God was born January the 8th, 2 billion years ago. He is God, all right? And he is eternal. He's not bound by time. And he is self-sufficient. In other words, he really needs nothing. God does not need anything. And yet you will hear preachers and will say, God needs my hands. He needs my mouth. He needs, yes, he is willing to partner with us, but he doesn't need us. It's like the little boy that had the fish and the loaves of bread. He took it, blessed it, and broke it, and he multiplied it. But if there would have been no one there with loaves of bread and fish, the Lord could have easily fed them. He didn't need that. It's not like, well, I've got to have a starting point. He allows us to participate. So, you know, the point is, because he is spirit, the Bible talks about he is a spirit. We have to have his spirit to properly communicate and worship. You know, when you talk about intimacy, and then we would recognize that people with whom you are intimate, into me see, is sort of the you know, the little definition. You know, I know my daughters, and yet my sons-in-law know them in a way that's very different than I, and known them in the last many years, and talked to them probably even more than I have. And now they have children, and their children will know them more than they'll know me. And no matter how much we spend together, and you know, because you know, when you talk about we get to know people because we're close to them. And you never really know someone until you either live a few years with them or days or weeks. And I tell young couples that are wanting to get married that every marriage, there's the surprise stage. May come the first week, first month, first year when you go, oh my Lord, I didn't know this person. How come I didn't see that? How could I have been so stupid? What did I do? Now, most, you know, some are laughing because they've been there, done that, you know. Hopefully you grow past that and you realize, well, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Maybe if we all work together, I can, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
But most of the time there's this, you know, wow. Only way I really get to know him. And yet, when you look at the Old Testament, and we talked about the three Hebrew children and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these people who didn't get to go into the presence of God, didn't get to go into the Holy of Holies, didn't get to feel the presence that we felt, only had five books of the Bible, maybe a few prophets, and yet they had this sense of, we know God is able to deliver. They had this amazing understanding of who God was and what God was able to do. Go ahead. And so when you realize Isaiah wrote, 46th chapter, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. My counsel shall stand. I will do my pleasure. What Isaiah was saying is, I serve a God that is all powerful. He is able to do anything. He is absolutely all powerful. He is the Almighty. Isaiah didn't have the Holy Ghost. He had a coal touch his mouth, but he knew God is able. The three Hebrew boys knew God is able. Now, when we think scientifically, when you consider the issues of our sun has nine planets, and yet our sun gives off more energy in 1 second than all the energy that has been produced on the planet Earth in its entire history. Boom. People think, wow. And our sun is not a giant star. It's kind of a medium star in our galaxy. The diameter of the sun is 860,000 miles. It could hold 1 million Earths in the sun. But for those of you who are real scientific, know that there are, at best count, 100 billion stars in our galaxy, which is called the Milky Way. The close galaxy to us, the Andromeda, has over 400 billion stars. And so we got 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Andromeda has 400 billion stars. That's a close galaxy, just a few thousand light years away. And if the scientists are right, there are billions of galaxies. And yet, the God we serve knows every one of them by name.
Yes, amen.
That's the God that I serve. Go ahead. Isaiah said, behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as small dust of balance. Behold, he takes the isles. To whom will you liken me? Or who shall be my equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. He is strong in power, and not one faileth. What are you talking about? I'm serving a powerful, powerful God. He knows everything. He knows all about everything. In fact, he knows how many hair I have on my head. He is all powerful. Even a Gentile king, we studied in Daniel, who was the head of the world empire, whenever he came to his senses, said in Daniel, the 4th chapter, he said it like this, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say, stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? I'm talking about a God that is all powerful. He is the Almighty. That's why I can trust God. Oh, you know, well, the doctors have said this, and this has said that, and that has gone. But you know what? I still serve an Almighty God. Oh, but I don't know how we're going to get through. But you know what? I still serve an Almighty God. I still serve an all-powerful God. Why do you trust him? Because I know how powerful he is. I'm sorry. That may not mean anything to you, but if I'm going to have a bodyguard, I want to know they've got some power. Either they're packing it or they're bulky, or... I mean, you know, Roman Hancock, please come and guard me. Huh? Be with me. He's the little boy, Nick's little boy, for those of you who, you know, are you ready to, you know, you carrying something or you got? Maybe that means nothing to you, but if you're going to say, I'm going to trust somebody, huh? Bring Jensen or Reese, you know. They'll protect you. Right. Pastor. I want to know somebody's standing with me. That is the Almighty. No matter where I go, the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Oh, I know in whom I have believed. Job said it like this when he reached the end, after he had been through sickness and he had been through the death of his children. He had been through the loss of all of his money. He said, I know you can do everything. No thought is withholding from you. Here, you know, what was so amazing about some of the prophets in Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah was he told them everything he was going to do. I'm going to send Babylon, and then I'm going to send Assyria, and then I'm going to send the Chaldeans, and then I'm going to send. You know why? Because he said, I don't want you to forget, I'm still in control. No matter what happens. That's why you'll hear me say on the day after the election, I can tell you who God wanted into office. I understand, vote, and I appreciate everybody that votes, and I want you to vote. Vote your conscience and vote what you feel. But let me tell you, God is not taken by surprise by any of the events. You say, well, I can't believe he would want, you know what? I don't know his plan, and you don't know his plan, but he is all powerful. He can pull a heartstring, and somebody could be out. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, to you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and be filled with all the, what? If God is all powerful, Christ is the power of God, and I've been baptized in his name. Why do I let the enemy push me around?
Think about it.
Lord, I'm tired of putting up with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Huh? What are you doing? It's time for me, you know, to quote the rest of Ephesians, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. How? This is why he would say, Timothy, stir this up. If you're going to trust God, you're going to have to stir up the gift that's in you. And unto him be glory and the church by Jesus Christ throughout the ages, world without end. I know the devil is finite. That's why you'll hear me tell people, I've had people come to me and say, oh, the devil's been after me all week. He's just been, the devil's been. And I say, you know what? Thank the Lord he hasn't been able to come get me. Because if you got him and you keeping him busy all week, he can't be at my doorstep. He's finite. Most of the time it's his angels or my flesh or something else, and we give the devil credit for it like he is God. But he is not God. He is not able to be everywhere at the same time. He does not know what you're thinking. He does not understand what the plans of God are. I'm here to tell you, we serve the Almighty, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we ask or think. Oh, hallelujah. You know, he's done one little star in one little galaxy, and our God is able to do anything. In fact, he said, I'm going to let you crush the enemy under your feet. Go ahead. Next slide. What are you saying? Next slide. Go ahead. Acts, the 17th chapter. Not only is he all powerful, but he is ever present. You know what that means. He is there all the time. Acts the 17th chapter, Paul was preaching that they should seek the Lord. He was preaching to the Athenians on Mars Hill, and he said if they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any of us. And then he says it like this, for in him we live and move and have our being. What are you saying? God's presence is everywhere. Now, there's a difference in me being able to say God's presence is everywhere and saying God's essence is everywhere. That's pantheism. And there are people that believe that. You know, well, this plant is God, and this vase is God. These are not God. God's here, but this isn't God.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? We're not making up, oh, well, you know, I go worship the tree. I just feel the essence of the tree. God surges through me. That used to be one of those gods. Right there. That tree god, that board. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's why it's kind of ridiculous. Because, you know, God is in the ducks, and all of a sudden, you know, a cat kills the duck, and you go, now God's in the cat. I don't know. It just gets into this never-ending, you know, how do you figure all that out? He's everywhere, but his essence is not everywhere. That's why Paul told the Corinthians, he says, know ye, you, not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not saying that, you know, yes, I am a son of God. Yes, I have the Spirit of God. That doesn't make me God.
Right.
I'm in relationship with God. You understand the difference? Now, what do I believe that we're a child of the King? Yes. Do I believe that the Lord is, you know, protects us and hears us? And all, yeah, we'll get into some of that. But the point is that when you begin to look, he is ever present. Not only is he ever present, but he is omniscient. In other words, he is all knowing. Not only is there that one sense of, you know, he is amazing, but it's like Someone was telling me a story, and I don't know if it's true, but there was a guy that was called into one of the early nuclear plants that was in the United States, because it was having this issue of always overheating and reaching critical mass and could explode, and they called this expert in, and he comes in, and he goes over, and he turns one dial, two degrees this way, and he turns another dial about 3 degrees that way, and then he flips a lever and he walks out. And he sends him a bill for $10,000. And the head of the nuclear plant said, we're not going to pay that unless we get an itemized bill. And so he sent him a letter. We want an itemized bill. What you did. What was the cost? And he says, send back a bill. He says, $10 to turn one switch to the 2 degrees, $10 to turn the other switch to 2 degrees, $10 to flip the lever, $9,970 to know which one to do it in and in what order. Yeah. I'm the consultant. I'm all knowing. I know what needed to be done. You were having problems and couldn't figure it out. Those of you who now know that consultants can make all kinds of money, and if they're very good, imagine having, and I know you can't hardly imagine this, like Google at your fingertips, or Siri that you could just ask any question to. And guess what? You may not get the right answer. They just had a whole thing this past week on that, Show me a picture of the founding fathers, and they had all kinds of people showing up. Whoa. What are you saying? He is omniscient. He knows what to do. He knows what you need to do. He knows your thoughts. He knows your dreams. He knows your desires. He knows your fears. He knows your anxieties. He knows your pain. He knows your discouragements. He knows your loneliness. He knows your being overwhelmed. He knows your temptation. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything. He knows your strength. You see, Psalms, David said it like this: Oh Lord, when you have searched me and known me, you have understood my thoughts afar off. You have compassed me when I'm lying down and when I'm up. I'm telling you, there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, you know it. That's the kind of God. That's why I can trust God. He knows me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. He knows what I can handle and what I can't. And he said, I will never put anything on you that you cannot handle or will make a way of escape. That's why I trust God, because I know he knows me. My wife, I've lived with for over 40 years, but even she doesn't know me like.
Right.
Behind me. Such knowledge, that's why David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I go from your presence? If I go up, if I go down, if I go to hell, if I go into the heavens, I don't know. God knows me. That's one of the reasons why I can trust him, is because, I've had people say, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand what I'm like. You don't understand. You can't, you don't get it. You don't understand where I am. You don't understand how I was raised. You don't understand. And I go, no, but I know someone who knows. Convince him that he doesn't understand. Convince him that he has not been tempted like you were tempted. Convince him that he doesn't know what you're going through, that he hasn't felt what you felt. That's why I can trust him. I'm sorry. You may look at me, and I know. I don't know about Sister Jan's doctor, but my guess is my mother's doctor and my wife's doctor, neither one had their own shoulder operated on. And when they go, now this will be 2 days and you'll be 3 days and blah, blah, blah. And you go, have you done it? Huh? You don't understand. Well, let me tell you, I know a God that understands. Oh, go ahead, next slide. What are you saying? Why do I trust God? Because he is sovereign. And I know, I'm going to stop. I know my time. We're America, home of the brave, land of the free. We fought against kings, didn't want to be under tyranny, and I get it. I agree. And yet we elect kings, they think, in Washington and whatever. But the point is, a sovereign, when they're a king, they expect obedience and submission. And we serve God, who is a king. The king walks with me. That's why I can trust God. It's because what he says goes. If he says, you don't need to worry about that, boom, taken care of. You say, well, David wrote in Psalms, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And he goes up and he says, lift up your heads, lift up your voice. You know, and so, you know, when people come in and they feel like, well, I want to bow to the King, and yet the King of glory is saying, lift up your head. I'm here, but I am the sovereign. I want you to understand, when I realize who God is, when I recognize the fact that God is here, God is with us, God is there, right beside me, no matter what I'm going through. That's why David wrote in Chronicles, he said it like this. He said, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be the Lord God of our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine, O Lord, is the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory. Thine, O Lord, is the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. That's why he said to his disciples, when you say, Lord, Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't understand why God let this happen. I don't understand why God, he's the king, folks. That's why he's God and I'm not. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and in might. In thy hand it is to make great and give strength. What are you saying? I'll stop there. Those are just his attributes. I'm not even talking about his character. Those are what he has. He has power. He has might. He's eternal. He's the Almighty. But when you talk about his integrity, it's a whole nother level of trust. You know, you have to understand, it's kind of like we had an old story in the South of the alligator who said to the frog, get on my back, I'll swim you to the other side of the river. And the frog said, I don't know if I can trust you. I promise I will just ride on my back. It'll all be okay. No, I'm not gonna do it. Come on. You don't have to, you can rest. I'll take you across. Finally, the frog got on the alligator's back. About halfway across the river, alligator threw his head up in the air, and the frog went sailing high. And he opened his mouth. And the frog said, "I thought you said I could trust you." He said, "Yeah, but I'm an alligator. I love frogs." Have you ever trusted somebody who had no integrity? They had a nature that was not trustworthy? Makes a big difference, doesn't it? To know what is your character. I want to tell you, I trust God because I know His character. Oh, I know. I've had people tell me about being hurt in church and this happened and that happened and people hurting them. But let me tell you, you can't find one person that can say God is not have it character and integrity. Don't blame God. You can blame me for being human or someone else for ignoring you or doing something else, but don't say anything about God. Don't stop your worship of God, because God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is powerful. Why do I trust Him? Because of all of His attributes and because of His character. Would you stand?